Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He is Ski at TSB Ski. He is King at Jeromney. Tweet at us if you want us to watch your movie. It's in a couple of weeks. This week's movie is King's movie. You see it in the description of the podcast. A Very Brady sequel is what we watched this week. 1996, which I believe is like 1 year after the previous one.
Oh yeah.
They knocked this one out. They were like, we gotta get on this heat from the first Brady movie. And so they came out with A Very Brady sequel.
I think that the Mr. and Mrs. Brady Go to Washington or whatever the third one is, I think it was a year later as well.
No, it wasn't.
They didn't knock it out?
It was quite a while afterwards. Yeah. You would think so, though. 56% on Rotten Tomatoes. 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb. 56% on Metacritic. I think the nation.
4.5 out of 5 on Amazon Prime.
Wow. I was going to say, was that the Walmart rating? Yep. Are we following up with the Walmart ratings again?
Wow.
That might have been a Best Buy.
Wow.
Owen Wilson not in this movie. Wow. Can you imagine if he were, though?
Wow.
Shelley Long, Gary Cole, Christine Taylor, back in this movie, along with the kids.
Everyone was back.
Yeah, but who the hell knows their names? I read through their roster, and I was like, I still don't know who was who. But they were back. RuPaul, back in this movie as well.
Hey, can I take a time out real quick?
Yeah.
So I'm reading, I took like two notes on this movie.
Sure. But
in those notes was a note for our sports podcast, which today is Sunday, but we recorded the sports one on Thursday.
Yes.
Take 2 seconds. Did you guys see the Bruce Feldman report on Scott Frost?
No.
I did not.
So when Nebraska was in Ireland playing Northwestern, Scott Frost called kind of a late night emergency coaches meeting. Everyone show up. You want to know who didn't show up?
Scott Frost.
Sorry. That's a dig on old, you can't recruit to Eugene, Scott Frost.
Well,
but proceed.
Well, perfect timing during the A Very Brady sequel conversation.
To
bring up Scott Frost. I love it. Okay.
It's a Sunday. I'm tired. I just came back from the Palouse.
I'm exhausted. Yeah, exactly.
NFL Sunday.
The trek through Eastern Washington.
Colts beat the Chiefs by 10.
Woof. Added to this movie, Tim Matheson, who is great. Zsa Zsa Gabor makes a cameo. Richard Belzer makes a cameo. Rosie O'Donnell makes a cameo. David Spade makes a cameo.
The very confusing one was that.
Very confusing David Spade cameo in this movie. We'll get to that. You know what? Talk about David Spade's cameo right now. Ski, go ahead.
I'm going to talk less about the actual cameo itself, and he was established at this point.
96?
I don't know why he was in... Yeah, Black Sheep and Tommy Boy, I think, had come out already. He was in Coneheads. I mean... It's on SNL. I don't know why he was in this, especially as his weird, his name is like Bruno or something like that, hairdresser with ridiculous looking hair.
Tommy Boy came out a year before this, as a matter of fact. So you're right. He had no business making the cameo.
Are you guys saying that A Very Brady sequel was David Spade's 1996 passion project?
He goes to his agent. You got to get me in this movie, Bill. You got to get me in this
just
movie.
Got to.
I read the script. Yeah, like all the interviews. Read the script and I fell in love, you guys. I just fell in love.
He owed somebody a favor. A producer, something, that's the only explanation.
Well, you know, the weird thing is, like, the first movie was written by those SNL writers, and this one was not. Mm-mm. And so there's no SNL connection to this one at all, other than David Spade.
Like I said, passion project.
Must have been. It must have been.
Passion of the Christ. Passion of the Spade.
Passion of the Spade. You know, for a hairdresser, his hair was very terrible.
It was awful.
Very terrible. I don't get it. They cut it really short and then had blocks of different colors on it. It was bizarre. In this movie, that stood out as bizarre.
Especially for Spade, I think he rocked that same haircut all throughout the 90s and well into the 2000s. His blonde, just normal blonde hair that he has.
Yeah, but like the longer. Like sort of
yeah, like,
his
yeah,
style.
A longer, yeah. His style. Yeah. I don't think he cut his hair any other way for
other than
15
this movie.
Years. Yes, other than this movie. It is such an outlier.
Passion project.
That's it. That's the only way they can convince him to cut his hair. It's a very Brady sequel. Because he fell in love with the script, you guys. He fell in love with the script.
I mean, how couldn't you? Fantastic script.
Yeah. 4.5 out of 5 on Amazon Prime.
Possibly the best sequel of all time.
History of sequels. Well, maybe we got to do a surprise top list, King. So the plot to this movie, on that note, the Bradys are surprised when a man claiming to be Carol's long lost first husband shows up at their home. Before long, his strange antics cause them to question his motives. That's the plot of this movie. The long lost husband, played by Tim Matheson, who was great.
Like, he was great. Fantastic.
He was great.
Oh, you know what time it is. I was tempted. I didn't want to do it, but you know what time it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for a surprise list. I don't have one because I dropped the surprise. Some call it a problem. I call it a gift. Guys, Alex, Mike, give me your top two. Number two sequels.
So the number two sequels.
My number one is Land Before Time 2.
Is that The Legend of Littlefoot?
You're not supposed to get in this list, man.
I'm sorry. It's a passion project.
This is bullshit. So can we count the third in a series as a sequel? Does that count?
You cannot.
It has to be the second. Mm-hmm.
Got to be the second. Yes.
So I can't pick Major League Back to the Minors.
You cannot.
So I'm picking Major League. Major League 2 is my number 2. Get Wesley Snipes out of here. Omar Epps, he's way better.
I love it. Yeah, because there's a lot of thirds that I was thinking of. I was thinking like the Indiana Jones third movie, the third Die Hard movie. Clearly the best ones. Let's go The Raid 2.
The Raid number two. Ski, give me your number one sequel of all time.
Raid 2 had the chick with the hammers. That was great.
I mean, this is the clearest favorite I've ever had as a number one. And that is American Ninja 2.
Oh, American Ninja 2. What a curveball. Never saw it coming because they're ninjas.
They are ninjas. And they're white.
More like American Ninja.
Cultural appropriation.
Yes.
I'm looking at the movies I have on my shelf right now. Deadpool 2.
Wow, what a surprise. No one named T2 as their...
Dominator.
Anyway, though, this was your surprise list. Back to the regularly scheduled podcast.
You know what we also didn't name was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. That's an oversight. But whatever. We're fine.
I'm fine with my picks.
All right. This movie was directed by Arlene Sanford.
That's a person.
She has an incredible IMDb. She has directed one episode of every TV show known to man. I swear to God. Like, look at her IMDb. I'll name a couple of them. Let's see. Friends, Arrested Development, Monk, Bones, Grey's Anatomy.
Tell me you got, like,
Desperate Housewives, Isles. Coach.
Coach.
Oh, man. She wrote Craig that Dauber scene, didn't she?
Wonder Years. I mean, fucking
look what you do.
Literally everything. Look at her IMDb. Arlene Sanford.
I've got to say, Craig Biggio of writing. A little bit of a compiler.
Oh, 100% a compiler.
Yeah, a lot of singles. A lot of singles right there. The Tony Gwynn. A lot of singles to the opposite field.
Exactly right.
All right. Quick, quick backtrack to Coach here.
Yes, sir.
I haven't seen Coach in forever.
Go Eagles.
Am I misremembering? I feel like Luther was problematic. Like, was he problematic for the times? I do not remember the show, really.
I feel like Luther probably was. But he was a Van Dyke, so we can't.
I'm sure.
He was a Van... Yeah. I kind of want to go back.
Was
that
a Jerry? Was he the Jerry of the Van
Dykes?
Jerry.
He was Jerry Van Dyke. Okay. Yeah.
What a great show. Minnesota?
Minnesota State.
Minnesota State.
The Screaming Eagles.
Screaming Eagles, because you can't just have an eagle. They got to be screaming.
No, it's got to be screaming.
So many damn eagle mascots.
And it wasn't a screaming eagle. It was a screaming.
Screaming. Screaming.
Yeah,
like the raging Cajuns.
Exactly.
They're not raging. They're raging. Yeah. Fun fact, that went 9 seasons and 199 episodes.
No way.
Jesus. Yeah.
What is that streaming on now? Tell me.
Right?
Probably nowhere.
It's got to be on Hulu. I bet it's on Hulu.
Oh, man.
You know how many of the 190 Arlene Sanford directed? Fucking one. That's hard to do.
Tony Gwynn, opposite field.
That's hard to do.
Craig Biggio.
She's like a stunt director.
Chandler of doing shows.
Chandler. All right. Back to Brady sequel. This movie's budget, $15 million. This movie made $21.4 million. That's why it took him a while to make that made for TV third movie. This movie is actually famous for something. It is famous
incest
nowadays. Okay, we'll get to that.
We'll get there.
I mean, yes, technically. We'll get to that, though. This movie is famous nowadays. Can you think of why it would be famous, like, in meme culture?
It's Tina Taylor in a bathing suit?
Close. Right person. So she, her...
Oh, the shirt. The Sure Jan?
The Sure Jan. Sure Jan. Exactly that. This movie has Sure Jan, and then she walks off. The gif. Because that's how you pronounce it. The Sure Jan GIF. This movie is famous for that. Okay. This movie is also famous. It can be argued 1996 for incest porn. Discuss.
Yeah. Interesting plot to go with.
Yeah. The Greg and Marcia thing at the end was very bizarre.
Not at the end, like for most of this movie.
Yeah, but it was it got really overt the last like 15 minutes.
They made out.
Yes,
they made out.
That was a whole new tab. I think they may have invented that subsect on Pornhub.
That's what I was saying.
My stepsister's hair is so blonde.
I had to comb it. How groovy.
1996. I'm telling you, this is the origin of stepsister porn. 100%.
And I will say the makeout sesh thing at the end wasn't the problem. It was sultry Marcia, like, through their little, like, barrier.
Through the barrier?
Show where it's just like, yeah, they got some, like, phone sex operator from the 90s to come in and voice over for Christina Taylor. Man, what a movie.
That was fucking weird.
It was so weird.
There's no other way to describe it. It's fucking weird. that the writers, by the way, I haven't mentioned yet. Now's a good time to mention them. Harry Elfont and Deborah Kaplan.
They gotta be stepbrother and sister.
Know what else they wrote? They wrote Josie and the Pussycats and Can't Hardly Wait.
A little more innocent than I thought, but
yep.
Because that shit was creepy.
Were you expecting like Private Parts or something? Or
I don't know what I was expecting, but I it was just that was weird. Man.
Let's get Jan on the Sibian.
Everybody's smiling. Sit on my stepbrother's face. Everybody's smiling. Is down my throat.
So,
Sunshine Day.
This movie had just three just weird, bizarre plot lines to it. I think outside of that, this movie was fucking fantastic.
Before we get too lost in the plot.
Got any more Scott Frost stories for us?
No. But Carol Brady in the beginning being like, I know where my fingerprints would rather be, as she's holding a 14-inch carrot and looking at Greg. Like, oh my God.
Everybody's so horny.
Yeah, she's just she's like it's a flute.
Everybody is horny in this movie. Everybody.
So we got
a couple more good one-liners from Alice.
Too. Yeah, we did. Alice had some.
Yep. So let's see. Sam promised to slip Alice a special tube steak.
Yeah.
That was one. All right. Let's see. This is the weirdest one ever. I can't believe this fucking line. I haven't brought back 30 pounds of horse since Sam came back from the health inspector. It's like, what does that fucking mean? 30 pounds of horse.
And you have to see this movie to get some of these lines because their faces are just like.
What is a health inspector? What?
You could miss some of these lines because they're so deadpanned how they're delivered to.
No, it's part of normal conversation.
Yeah.
This is how people talk to each other. What? I don't understand. Why are you looking at me weird? And I realize that's sort of like a Brady Bunch thing. Like that's the point. They did it a bunch of the first movie too. But these are so out there and weird.
So out there.
That's why it's fantastic.
I mean, kinda.
Yeah. I mean, if you could look past the whole way that they think this is their father that has come back from like 5+ years. What do you say? He got sat on by an elephant. Is that what he said? Was why?
I got
why
this.
His face was different.
I got this. So he shows up at their house, saying he was lost at sea.
As one does,
like you do. Which, by the way, we find out the guy he was with was the professor from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, that's the other thing I'll get into, but yeah.
And the son of the famous rich billionaire at the end is Gilligan?
Yeah.
Okay. Back to Roy, played by Matheson. Mm-hmm. He has amnesia, which is fucking classic. You gotta love that. Yeah. And he said an elephant stepped on his face, which is why they don't recognize him. Hey, look a little different. You're like taller and like with your face. Yeah, I got stepped on by an elephant. All right.
Yeah. So if you can look past that, look past the incest, and then look past them throwing in, like I said, the Gilligan's Island, the I Dream a Genie at the very end.
Yep,
that was bizarre.
I think there was one Barbara Eden, I think her name was, right?
Yeah, there was another one, maybe two. I think the Zsa Zsa Gabor one might have been something as well.
Zsa Zsa Gabor was competing with him to auction for the horse, and she was, her assistant was Rosie O'Donnell.
Lesbian lover?
That's what I thought. And you know what? Fantastic. 1996, love it. Yeah. You love to see it.
But yeah, if you look past those three just ridiculous things.
Yeah, look past the incest.
Look past
the fact that some of the characters are related to Gilligan. Look past the fact that his face got stepped on by an elephant and so they can't recognize him. Look past all of that. Look past the fact that RuPaul's character has three daughters named Moesha. Yeah.
No.
Moesha. No. Yeah. No.
It's brilliant right there.
I feel like that might have been a little problematic.
Look past the fact that Alice cooks shrooms into spaghetti.
That was so good.
Roy is somehow the only one that got the psychedelic mushrooms.
No, Alice said she did, and she went in the fridge.
She walked into the refrigerator.
That was so good.
So good. I'm telling you, so good.
Look past the fact that Jan called a sex line to act like she had a boyfriend.
You missed the whole, I think they opened with they're looking through their yearbook thing, and it was something about was it the menage a trois?
The menage a trois.
First one? Yeah, it's like, oh, I think that's well French too. First.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she had her podiatrist wrote a note in her yearbook or something Jan did.
What a franchise.
Yo, the scene where they were having lunch, where Greg and Marsha went on the date. So they each had the date and they met at the same place and they just happened to have lunch together. It was like a double date with your stepbrother and sister, which is fucking weird. And then they end up falling in love with each other instead, and the dates leave with each other. But the part where Jan brought the mannequin in with
Anakin.
Her. To act like the boyfriend, and everybody in the place is like, oh, it's like performance art. We got to make sure to come back next week when they do this again. Oh my God.
She got a standing ovation as she left.
Fucking brilliant. Fucking brilliant. You know, I found myself when this movie. So you told us we were going to watch this, and initially I was like, oh, fuck, man, really? Come on.
I told you it was a punishment. But
when.
It was not a punishment.
When I hit play, I got excited.
Yeah!
I was like, oh boy, what am I in for here? And then they start digging up, then they're like treasure hunting somewhere. And I'm like, oh, let's go. Give me all of it.
See, I think it worked well because they didn't really have the two younger siblings involved much other than the stupid, towards the end. But it was great. Whatever, I can't remember even the middle child. Him with the nunchucks and him, talking down to the workers because Matheson tells him, don't take shit, do whatever you can, rob, steal, and kill.
Yeah.
I know, it was fucking hilarious.
Oh, that's right. The date was leaving, and he's like, bye, Marsha. It's been scary. Yeah. Everybody in that family's terrifying. Although, I guess the younger kids, they're somewhat normal, right? They're okay.
Well, yeah. The first one, she was talking to the doll, and the doll was talking.
Cindy's like a normal kid, and by the end, she's no longer talking to the doll. Like the lisp is gone. She's she's turning into an actually normal person. We'll see. Yeah. But and Bobby's he's a detective. He's a little kid. Kids play detective. Whatever. That's normal.
Yes.
He's not trying to have a sexual relationship with Cindy.
I just know that Bobby somehow tries to crack the. Why isn't my mom playing hide the meat in the third one?
Oh yeah. Well, I think Braga said
the Oval Office, in the third one. So yeah.
Well, didn't you say only Gary Cole?
Only the parents. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shelley Long's in it too.
Oh, Shelley Long is as well. All right, yeah.
But nobody else is, from what I saw. Such a missed opportunity for them, right? All you got to do is be in that movie and you complete the trilogy. Come on, man.
Because this
DVD box set.
I don't remember what it had to come out maybe in the late 90s, maybe it reached in the early 2000s.
This one there or could the have been third some, one?
There, the third one. There could have been some great, like, Bill Clinton jokes in there from the kids, and I think it had a chance. It could, well, we should watch it, honestly.
It was but. It was 2002.
The Brady, 02? Jesus.
The Brady Bunch in the White House. I think they recast the kids. I think that's what they did.
Oh, all right. So it's the kids are actually in it, just not.
Yeah,
the,
yeah, that's what they did. They recast the kids. But Shelley Long and Gary Cole are definitely in it. The Brady's moved to Washington. The Brady's moved to Washington after Mike becomes the president and appoints Carol as his vice president.
Okay. I kind of want to watch.
I will pick it, but I okay.
Where can we watch?
I might. Well, I say we might have to watch like maybe just 5 minutes of it and see if it's just.
Yeah, it could be. Because there's. They don't have all the promising.
No, if they don't have all the just genius like innuendos and stuff thrown in, it's going to be bad. Like, really bad.
I do like when they get to Hawaii and they're like, hey, look, it's Marcia over there getting laid by all the Hawaiian boys. Groovy.
It's just on a platter for you right there. I mean, you have to take it. It's there.
You have to, yeah.
That's a 3-0 fastball right down the middle. You got to swing. You just have to swing.
Got to take a cut.
And Mike making the joke about the LAPD with Belzer. He's like, oh, the LAPD is normally known for being so rational and fair with who they are at.
And community friendly.
Community friendly. We should not like these. We should not like these. Yeah, here we are.
Yeah.
What's the name of the third one? The Brady's go to Washington?
To the White House or something, yeah.
To the White House.
Yeah, all yeah. Right. Just search for Brady White House, yeah.
Oh.
So I mean yes. he should die from all of the shrooms he ate, right?
He ate a lot of mushrooms.
I mean that he would not come down from that for a very long time.
He would definitely not recover as quickly as he did.
No, like not the next morning he wakes up with a hangover. Like the entire fucking bag. By the way.
I mean, honestly, he should probably be sleeping for like 3 days.
By the way, why does he have that?
Because he's a bad boy, man. He's a bad boy.
I'm like, what?
Why has he got nunchucks in his bag?
No, that's a valid question. So that's what I'm wondering. Why he is walking around, of all the weapons he could possibly have in 1996, why does he have nunchucks? He never explained it, like why he has them. Why does he have nunchucks? Why does he have mushrooms? He doesn't have a lot of stuff, by the way. Like the bag he brings with him is.
It's just got a little duffel.
That's about all you need. That's all got some clothes, toothbrush, toothpaste.
Does he? Does he have those things?
You know.
As far as I noticed, he wore the same clothes every day and had mushrooms and nunchucks. Okay.
As one does.
Like you do.
Yeah,
like
you ever have right. you ever wrote, have you ever drove a, ridden on a Greyhound bus? Sounds about. Sounds
oh
about.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right, we are going to have to watch that Brady Bunch goes to the White House. The director for it and the writer, I believe, he wrote it. Also wrote the Police Academy series,
ooh.
So you know it's good.
Ooh.
So you know it's good.
You know it's good.
By the way, we mentioned the professor. Like the Gilligan's Island professor, that's the father of the three girls. So in Brady Bunch lore, the professor from Gilligan's Island is Marcia, Jan, and Cindy's father.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The fucking Brady multiverse, you guys.
Wow.
The Brady Gilligan's Island multiverse.
Well, I know I brought it up for the last movie that the it was either the writer or all the producers. They did I Dream a Genie, and they did all those. That's why they brought him in, but it didn't make sense. Unless it was for the old people that
yeah,
had to be.
Knew
it
that,
was, it was
knew that more.
Yeah. This show, by the way, was very much shot like a TV show, too. Like, especially the start. It's weird because it sort of changed, but like at the start of this movie, it looked exactly like a 60s TV show. Like the sets, the way they shot it, everything looked like a 60s TV show. Different than the first one. Because first one very much felt like a 90s movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were the only ones out of the time frame.
Yes.
Yeah. It did feel different. I agree with you on that.
I didn't understand about midway to a quarter through. I was like, wait a minute. Why aren't they just out of place? I swear they were 1964 people in 1994 in the first one. And then I just got lost in the great writing. And then I couldn't think about it again.
They had the two similar scenes. The one in the first one where they're in the mall, like doing their sing along thing.
Yep.
And they felt so out of place. But in this one, when they're on the plane, didn't seem that out of place.
Well, until the stewardess said, "Please sit down and shut up."
And shut up. Yeah, please sit down and shut up.
So good. This movie. We should probably talk a little bit about how insane Jan is in this movie. I know she's that's her
less insane than the first one.
I guess.
She didn't have the voice talking in her head the whole time.
That's true, Jan. Yeah.
But she did have an imaginary boyfriend that she created.
But that was a suggestion.
She manifested
a boyfriend. She fucking did.
And in 2022, people are still manifesting stuff. So I'll give her,
Yeah.
She probably invented. What was the
child?
Oh, what was the thing where you put all your hopes and dreams on a little cardboard thing, and that.
Oh, like a vision board.
She vision board this and manifested vision the boyfriend board? Herself.
This is the most prophetic movie in the history of film.
It's layers.
She manifested George Glass, you guys. She manifested.
Yeah.
She manifested him from a mannequin and a sex line worker. It's amazing.
Fantastic.
All right. I mean, we can rate it now. Do you guys got anything else?
What is it? Is that a 4?
It's out of 5.
Out of 5. No, just like Amazon Prime, where they gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
That's right. Well, what's your
Prime score? Video? Sorry, someone's going to correct.
What's your score? It's your movie.
I'm giving it a solid 4 out of 5.
Man. Man.
It's the self-awareness that gets me.
Yeah.
I love a bad movie that's self-aware.
I think it's a guilty pleasure. I gave the first one a 1.5 or something, didn't I?
Yes. Yeah.
You lowballed it. After we were done, I sort of felt bad about it. Because I was like, you know what? It deserved more than that. It deserved a 2.5 at least. I don't know how to grade this.
Everybody's smiling.
Yeah, do I go with my heart? Do I go with my heart? Jesus. All right, I'll give it a 4.
Yeah!
All right. Again. What's the point of us watching movies? Is to enjoy ourselves, right? Did I enjoy myself during this movie?
Yes, I fucking.
I don't like myself for it.
I don't either.
But here I am.
We were 3 graders grading all together, and it was 4 out of 5. Down, down, down.
Well, for continuity, I will give it a 4 as well.
Yeah!
I was gonna give it a 4.3.
Wow.
But I'll drop it to the 4. The incest dropped it to a 4.
That
raised it up to a 4 for me. 4.3. What do you mean?
Oh, that's
it invented my favorite genre of pornography.
There had to be some other. I bet they spin this off into porn. This movie, a Brady Bunch.
That's been
a Brady Bunch parody from this one.
I bet you, if you went to UJizz or Pornhub or whatever and put in Brady Bunch, you're getting.
Well, it's just called Not a Very Brady Sequel. That's all you got to do.
You're getting mad results.
So we're just gonna sit here and act like we don't know the formula for those. We're just gonna Okay. All right, Ski. Sure. Okay. Cool story, bro.
Hey, man.
I'm BYU here over here.
Yeah, that's
until
right.
Until they found stepmom.
The only way I have intercourse is if my best friend jumps on the bed next to me.
Yes.
Rocking my baby. On the bed top. When the bed rocks, the soaking will stop.
Not enough Brady movies in the world.
Nope.
Not enough. Yep.
I feel bad for our youth. They'll never understand the Brady nostalgia.
Yeah, I don't think this would play with our kids.
No.
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 No. They're a little more hip to the lingo than we were.
They say sure, Jan, but not ironically. Dicks.
Jerks.
Fucking millennials. Or I guess, what is it, Gen Zs now? Yeah. Is that what they are?
I hope that mortgage rate goes up to 12.5, assholes.
Yeah. Yeah. Have fun with the interest rate, chumps.
Inflation fuckers.
Yeah, you're welcome.
My zucchini's $1.50. I hope your 800 square foot house is $4 million. Yeah, asshole.
By the time you're renting a studio apartment, it's gonna be $3,000 a month.
Have in Omaha, that. Nebraska. Have eat shit. Yeah. Eat shit, young people.
Have fun paying.
We'll five, get Social Security still.
Have fun won't. Paying $5,000 for a one bedroom in Detroit. Dicks.
Losers.
$4 gallon of milk. Have fun with that.
We used to pay that for gas, you losers.
Oh, you want orange juice? Hope you won the fucking lottery. All right, I think we're done.
Yeah, we're done.